On today's Part of My Take, we have two-time Super Bowl champion Julian Edelman. We actually sat with him for over an hour. We have, so we're doing a little two-part. You'll get the extra part next week, but you'll get some good stuff today with Julian. It was an awesome conversation. We also have Hot Seat Cool Throne, and because it's Wednesday, we have Guys on Chicks. Before we get going, I wanted to shout out Stadium Goods. Are you a sneakerhead? Collecting old favorites and keeping up with new trends? Well, guess what? Stadium Goods has it all. We actually were just talking about PFT's pennies, right?
Mm-hmm. The penny twos.
The penny twos. He got them all at Stadium Goods, and they are fly.
They're
fresh,
my grail.
They're your grail. So they have all kinds of shoes. They have new shoes, old shoes, anything you want. Stadium Goods has it. Premier sneaker marketplace for every shopper in every style, size, and price point. Over 100,000 options, rare collectibles, high performance, all items authenticated, no bootlegs, no fakes, all unworn, mint condition. I bought a pair. I bought a couple pairs. I got some Jordan 5s, some Jordan 4s. We got the Penny 2s. Hank got something. Can't remember what it was. But you can get your new pair of shoes at stadiumgoods.com. Find rare and limited edition kicks or check out their flagship store at 47 Howard Street in Soho, New York. For you sneakerheads shopping online, go to stadiumgoods.com. Enter the code PARDON and get 10% off your first order. That's stadiumgoods.com, and use the code PARDON for 10% off your new shoes. Let's go. Boy! Boy! Now in the street there is violence, and none allowed to solve the work to be done. No paper hanger, no washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no,
we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue,
and then we'll take it higher.
Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, November 15th, and Grayson Allen hating is back.
Just Grayson Allen is back in general. He doesn't look as much like Ted Cruz as he did last year, which I'm a little disappointed in. He's kind of he had a makeover done over the summer.
He's a never graduate.
He looks more like Marco Rubio now than Ted Cruz.
He's a never graduate. He's up there with Carl Krauser. Mm-hmm. And our personal friend, Perry Ellis.
My grandfather's friend,
yes.
Perry Ellis.
All the white guys from Syracuse, all of them, just list any of them, and they were there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Grayson Allen is back. Hating Grayson Allen is back. He played all 40 minutes. He scored 37 points. And I am going to love hating Grayson Allen this year. It's going to be so, so good.
Well, so there are a few tentpoles in my college basketball season. One is this first primetime Duke game, the first big matchup.
Do the matchup either at Madison Square Garden or United Center.
So I'm going to remember this one. I'm going to remember a game that Duke plays in or around Christmas Day, where I'm kind of dozing off and bored on my parents' couch.
Yep.
So I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Then from that point on, it's just going to be kind of like a mashup of all the different Grayson Allen tripping things.
They'll lose to Miami midweek.
Yeah.
And some random midweek game in February. Everyone will be like, Duke's done.
One true freshman who dunks, who has a spectacular dunk that I remember. Mm-hmm. And then it'll kind of regain focus in March when it gets time for the tournament.
Yeah. Some horrific injury by some player at some point in January, college basketball.
I think this is the year maybe finally Grayson Allen has seen Coach K chastise other teams' best players enough to the point where it's finally sinking into him. He's like, wow, Coach means business. I should really straighten up.
Yeah, so college basketball being back means two things for me. One is my gambling brain has to turn on fouling at the end of college basketball games because that gets out of hand. They don't do it in the NBA. They just let games die. A team could be down 4 points with 30 seconds left. They're like, all right, game over. Mm-hmm. Good try, fellas. You know, it's February. We don't really care. In college basketball, they will foul till the end of time, and every single point spread will be ruined.
Yes, and let's not forget, it's also the start of Coach Izzo overrated season. We were the first ones on that bandwagon a year and a half ago, so I'm going to restake my claim on that.
People get hot on that one.
That's one of our boldest takes.
It's like Tony Romo, Steph Curry, which I think we're vindicated with, and Coach Izzo, is he overrated?
Mm-hmm. Also, Hank's hating LeBron James.
Yes. No, that's not really
that's
controversial.
That's corrected.
And then the other part that comes back with college basketball is NBA snobs saying how bad college basketball is. That's always a fun argument.
Well, that's always great. But you have the other side of the coin with college basketball fans claiming that college basketball is a better product than the NBA.
True. And true, because games are closer. Yes, they try harder.
They're closer because they miss more shots.
Yeah, right. I lay in the camp where I just like watching basketball, so I don't really care who's playing.
That is a weak take.
I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to gamble on it. I don't give a fuck. I'll watch all of it.
Weak take. You know what I really like about when number one ranked team plays a number two ranked team?
Mm-hmm.
You get the opportunity to have both fans chant overrated at some point during the game.
Yes. So college basketball is back. And speaking of college athletics, college football, we're getting close. We're feeling close to the Final Four of the college football playoffs, and the new rankings are out. Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, Wisconsin. They were like 4B.
There was 4B.
Really, no, they're 4B. 4B.
They were the ones that are just like off. They're like Alaska on a map of the 48 United States.
Yeah.
Like tucked off in the corner with a much smaller scale thing.
This is one of those weeks where there actually is no argument. Like that, those are the top four teams. That's the correct ranking. But then, of course, everyone's going to be like, well, we got to argue something.
I'll tell you.
Did Notre Dame fall too far?
I'll tell you what it is. It's blind resume season.
Ooh.
So I'm rubbing my hands.
Buddy.
I'm literally, hear that?
Mm-hmm.
That's me rubbing my hands, warming up for blind resume season. Blind resume season is going to be tough on Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's going to be bad luck. It's going to be like, here are four teams that have beaten like three top 10 teams, and then there's Wisconsin that has beaten a team ranked number 80.
I actually don't think blind resume is going to, I think it's not really a blind resume when you put Wisconsin's resume out there.
No, you
you're
know
pretty much like, oh, that exactly team's been playing just teams in the 90s?
Yep.
Oh, you mean Indiana and Illinois? Okay, yeah, that's probably Wisconsin.
Little thought experiment for you here, because I think blind resumes, they're really as close as we get to like Tinder profiles for college football. Here's a little experiment. I'm going
to
give you an example of a Tinder profile. You tell me if you'd swipe left or right on him.
Okay.
Okay. The guy has a degree in forensic psychology.
Mm-hmm.
He's very active in his local art community, and he loves to cook. That sounds like a catch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a catch.
Swipe right.
Swipe right.
Congrats. You just swiped right on Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
So be very, very cautious.
And a nice Chianti.
Yep. Couldn't keep that guy out of the kitchen.
Benjamin Moffitt. It's an anagram.
Very careful in blind resume season. That's what I love so much.
You know what I love? First flight.
I love,
it's an anagram.
I love when they pull up like where the team logo should be, and it's gray, and then there's a question mark in it.
Yes,
it's like that could be any team.
Oh shit, that could be player X. Yeah. Oh man, this is crazy.
It could be a team I don't even know about yet.
All right, before we get to hot seat, cool throne, one last thing I wanted to mention. I know it's not who's back because it's not Monday. But Tiger's back.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger's back. And that means Tiger fanboys are back. Because that's really what we care about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really Tiger. It's that everyone else is getting their hopes up for Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Fowler, someone asked Ricky if the rumors are true that Tiger's been hitting at him past him in practice at Medalist, which I guess is a golf course. I don't even know.
Sure.
I'm sure people would be like, that's the fucking nicest golf course in Minnesota, bro. He said, oh, yeah.
Is there any fescue on it?
He said, oh,
I don't
yeah.
care.
Way by. So Tiger is crushing it. I don't even know. Does Ricky hit it hard from the
I don't
tee?
Know. He's like my size, so I'm going to guess probably not.
Okay, so good job, Tiger. You're out. You're dusting the like medium-ranked driver.
Tiger should just get
that
in.
Was golf talk.
Here's what Tiger should do. He should just get into just long drive competitions.
Ooh.
Just start juicing heavy.
Yeah.
Get back to your old self. Don't worry about, you know, like your short game, any of the stuff that requires an attention to detail. Just get out there and fucking rip it.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised Tiger's back with the new Call of Duty coming out. I feel like he'd have something else going on.
Yeah.
That's really like, how is he doing
he's
both? How's he
big,
managing both on his schedule?
He's coming off a big Veterans Day weekend, probably was attending too many luncheons
just
and parties,
crushing,
accepting awards.
Crushing 12-year-olds on Xbox all weekend long. All right, let's get to our hot seat, cool throne. Before we do that, I want to talk to you guys about SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Do it. SeatGeek app. Download it right now. Put in the promo code TAKE, TAKE. That's promo code TAKE for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you got to do is download the SeatGeek app and put in the promo code TAKE for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Okay. Hot Seat Cool Throne. Hank, you okay?
Yeah.
By the way, Hank is, I don't know, there's some listeners of Pardon My Take that probably aren't into the inner workings of Barstool, but Hank's got a fight coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Hank is fighting in a pay-per-view fight.
A sanctioned pay-per-view fight in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Rough and rowdy.
You're going to want to tune in. It's December 15th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's fighting against Tex. You may remember Tex from being on Pardon My Take, where he is the only person who's worse than Hank and Chaps combined at reading.
Yeah. Oh, remember that time we had Tex on and we just didn't record and we're just like, you fucking idiot.
We told him we'd record an interview. Yeah, we want to get your message out there.
That
to
was
the
awesome.
My take
you guys listening at home, you never heard it because we didn't record it, but it was fucking funny.
It was one of those things where we are always doing the podcast even when we're not recording.
Yes,
and so it was just something that was purely funny for me and Big Cat to sit down and do.
Just prank him.
Fun of Tex. Yeah.
But Hank is training. He's getting ready. He's got a month to get in shape. PFT and I are joining him down in West Virginia. We'll have a big entourage. We're going to have a huge entrance. It's going to be awesome. I'm so fucking excited.
If you got any boxing training tips, hit me. I'm researching everything. I'm doing a lot of Googling, a lot of YouTube watching.
Here's a free tip right now. Start exaggerating your Massachusetts accent.
Yeah.
Because Marky Mark and the fighter, not you.
Head body.
Head body. Come on. Head body. Come on, Mickey, head body.
My hot seat is JCPenney.
Oh.
They just announced they're closing a bunch of stores, so sucks for them.
Here's a good question, Hank. Damn. Have you ever shopped in a JCPenney?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Really?
They had one in my local mall.
Is that the same as like a Kmart?
I used to cop all my dope grails there.
It's like a Kmart, the same as a Kmart, right?
Yeah, it's like Marshall's.
And like a Kohl's.
Is Marshall's still around?
They're probably next.
They should all just combine into one store.
I'm a huge Marshalls fan. Marshall had like all the good stuff, but for cheap.
What I never understood, we went to Marshalls in Vegas last time we were in Vegas? Mm-hmm. And they have like 75 shirts and none of them are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they don't make two of any of the things they have on sale.
And so another thing about Marshalls, they always have like slightly irregular merchandise that they couldn't sell in like the main stores.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything wrong with a slightly irregular. I'm sure that when I wear it, I look like a fool.
Yeah.
But I've never seen something on the rack that I'm like, oh, that looks bad.
Yeah.
It's just this shirt's cheap. I'll buy it.
I just never understood. Like you like look through, you're like, oh, that shirt's good. It's not my size. Let me find just my size. Nope. They only made one in one size ever. Mm-hmm.
JCPenney,
kind of smart.
The place to go when you need socks.
Yeah,
not anymore. Because
not anymore. Okay. Wow.
Are they going online?
I don't know. I just saw an announcement that said they're closing 196 stores.
I heard the internet's the future.
Mm-hmm. They should. Yeah, they should get out of the brick and mortar game.
They're pivoting.
Open
to video.
Up a web shop.
Yeah, pivoting video.
My cool throne.
They should just start an eBay account.
Yeah,
that's it. Just like one eBay
Sell
account
everything.
For JCPenney.
Remember eBay? That was hot for a while.
My cool throne is bench mobs.
Okay.
College basketball is back.
Yep.
Which means the bench mob, guys on the end of the bench going crazy, doing their little bow and arrows. Like, the NFL has really stepped up their celebration games.
True.
Bench mob used to be like the top of the top, so they got to take their throne back starting now.
The original get back guys were not college football assistants. They were the guys on the bench that would just make sure you didn't get too excited after
full
slam
arms.
Dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, stay back.
Do you got to get that little white point guard gets really low and just holds everyone's
dick back.
We
can't have anybody getting a technical.
Yeah,
Duke has like the corniest, like shortest,
oh,
like,
no way.
Skinniest white guy.
Let me guess. Whoever that kid is, his father is like a really powerful hedge fund manager who donates all his money to Coach K and was like, hey, can my kid sit 12th on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that's
just connect some dots. Yeah.
Right. Okay, PFT, go.
All right, my hot seat is the 10 people under 30 in America who were not on Forbes 30 for 30 under 30 list.
Mm.
So that includes
Real
Hank,
relatable.
That includes Liam.
Okay.
They put out a 30 under 30 list, and it was in like 400 different categories. So they had like 1,200 people. I think I did the math exactly right on that.
Yeah.
But it was like it was probably 300 or 400 people that were on this
list.
Was
Darren Revelle on there?
Of 30 under 30. Yeah, Darren's definitely under there. It was like if you don't win the Publishers Clearinghouse mailers that go out. Those are the same people that weren't included on this list because every fucking person in America was on it.
Well, at least that's probably helping like the printer business. You know, there's 1,200 moms out there who are printing that out and putting it right on their refrigerator.
Yep.
Boom. Well, boom. That's just cycling back the economy for
us. Here's a little inside the biz when it comes to lists. They just put people with a lot of Twitter followers on their list. So they'll retweet it and then people read it.
Smart.
Little life hack.
It's smart.
I have another hot seat.
Okay.
Oh. Evgeny Malkin.
Okay.
From the Penguins. You want to know why?
Why?
Malkin, let's listen to the balls on this motherfucker.
Uh-oh.
He is joining a pro-Putin social campaign in America.
Oh, wow.
To join forces with Putin.
That.
No, I'm talking about Malkin.
Okay.
Malkin, as far as I know, is the one who started it, and he's the only NHL player that I can think of that's doing this. This son of a bitch is basically a traitor.
Yeah.
And he's propping up a dictator who goes after journalists. It's the Caps year. Washington Capitals would never do this.
I still don't understand how those guys aren't playing in the Olympics. Like, Putin's going to be like, hey, you fuckers get back.
Well, no, I think Putin's going to play in the Olympics
and lead all scores. Just score a million goals.
My cool throne is Bob Lee.
Oh.
Because a report just came out that Fox Sports has been engaging in FIFA bribery.
Oh, wow.
Bribing South American leagues for broadcasting rights to their soccer games.
Oh.
So this is right up Bob Lee's alley.
Yeah, it is.
Not only is it a competitor to ESPN, but it's also, he just loves FIFA scandals.
He loves FIFA scandals, and if we could just shoehorn in somewhere, maybe the person putting out the bribes has a concussion from playing too many headers as a kid.
Yeah.
So he actually didn't know he was bribing.
Yep.
So he was bribing against his will.
Yep.
This thing gets deep. There's layers.
So really, who's to blame here?
I don't know.
I think it all goes back to FIFA for allowing the head injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
Another cool throne is me.
Oh, huh.
Got two of them.
Okay. Wow.
I'm putting myself on the cool throne.
Why?
Because I got offered coke and weed from a stranger over the weekend when I was out and about. Still got it.
Still.
I'm just putting that vibe out there.
That does.
In the bathroom?
Like in the middle of a bar.
Yeah, that feels good.
It does. I didn't partake because I'm a pussy and I didn't want to do a drug deal with a stranger. But when that happens to you, it's like when the hottest chick in a bar comes up to you and starts chatting you up.
You're a cool guy.
It's like I'm still putting that vibe out there.
No,
so
you definitely, like, the day that that you walk, you know, past people on like a busy New York street and they don't say, hey, you want some pills, you want some coke, like you're a loser then.
Mm-hmm.
You are a narc. That's nice.
He saw my fit. He saw my grail that
I
was
rocking.
Saw
your grail.
And he was like,
saw that booty pop.
Yeah, and he was like, This guy, he's gonna buy.
Fellas. Guy with a big booty and long hair walks in the bar. What do you do?
What do you do?
Offer him coke and weed.
Offer him some drugs.
All right. My hot seat is everyone's iPhone. So we were talking about this on our drive back from the Julian Edelman interview. Everyone's iPhone sucks now because iPhone, what they do, Apple, every single time they release a new iPhone, they do something with the software and they make all of our old iPhones suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up.
I was going through this on Friday. I was taking a lift. And I was standing outside, and it was cold, so I think that might have something to do with it.
Bro, you don't Uber?
But my battery went from 45 to 25 in about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And the time that it took the thing to pick me up. And I was just watching it, like, tick down every 30 seconds.
Correct.
I was like, what the hell is going on? It's going to be on zero.
I just don't have service sometimes.
Yeah. Now. They just screw up the iOS, and they make it drain your battery, allegedly.
Right. No,
theoretically.
I'm very woke to this. I'm pretty sure that every single time they create a new iPhone, they just, like, have a button. It's just a big red button in the middle of Cupertino or wherever the fuck the Apple is, and they just press it, and it's just like everyone's iPhone's shit now.
Right.
Tim Cook has an iPhone that does not need to be charged. I cannot be more sure of anything.
So
it's
true.
Like they used to have bubble gum that you could chew all day.
Fuck yeah. I think that's just Willy Wonka.
Oh, okay.
I was told that
was an actual thing. I was told you could put it like in a box and then put it away at night and then like take it in the morning.
There's chocolate. There's a chocolate river.
The river.
Yeah, right.
That's not real?
No, I was told about that too.
All right.
You're so right though, Hank. There is a fucking iPhone that never needs to be charged.
Mm-hmm.
He just sits there and he's just like, look, oh my God.
Solar power makes me so mad. Yeah, so.
No, not even solar power, just power.
I think that we have enough listeners that could get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
If you're also all of a sudden experiencing weird iPhone issues, let us know.
Yes. But what they do is if anyone at Cupertino like says, oh, I have the iPhone that never needs to be charged, they kill them.
Oh, no.
They fucking kill them.
You know where it is? There's an underground cave in the middle of the rainforest in Brazil, and Steve Jobs is down there like in Lost, and he just pushes that button to like reset the clock. Every 18 months when the new phone comes
it's
out.
It's fucking bullshit.
Screw up the old
you,
ones.
Yeah, PFT's right. Everyone out there, if you don't have the iPhone X, you know this. Tell us exactly what's wrong. Tell Hank at Henny's. Mm. Just send all his complaints, all Apple complaints to Hank from now on. All right. My other hot seat is Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis is officially on the hot seat. He's at war with Vontaze Burfict and Jeremy Hill, both players of his. So they're like publicly just disagreeing out in the open. I have to think this is the end of the road for Marvin Lewis. So my cool throne is Marvin Lewis. Yeah. So Marvin Lewis is definitely not getting fired. I'm just joking, guys.
Absolutely not.
Fighting with two of his players, and he's still not getting fired.
That was a terrible hot seat.
Well, then I did the reverse. Cool throne.
You put him on
the cool throne.
Yeah.
My other cool throne is USA Soccer. So USA Soccer is officially on the cool throne because Italy did not make the World Cup either, and that's like a big deal. Yes. Italy loves soccer. Italy plays a lot of soccer. I think Roberto Baggio, he had that tail.
Yeah, the rat tail.
Yeah.
Gigi Buffon.
Yeah, Gigi Buffon.
I'm actually upset that I'm not going to be able to hear Bob Lee say Gigi over the summer, because that was going to be, I love him saying Gigi.
Italy was always the team that you watched, and every single guy on that team was like, just had the look like he could cuck your girlfriend or wife.
And you just knew that he was Italian, too.
Yes.
Like, that guy could be wearing like lederhosen, and he'd be like, that guy is obviously Italian.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we're off the hook though, because this is like the hottest chick who didn't make the ball or whatever. I know that analogy made no sense.
Interesting,
but whatever, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, well, no, what this is,
we're cool.
So Italy was going to be so many people's second team in the World Cup. They were probably like 20 million Americans had Italy as their fallback team, and they were going to be like, no, I'm like 8% Italian.
Yeah.
My nona, she
gravy.
Told me she used to make SpaghettiOs for me all the time.
Spread sauce.
Yeah, mooch. The mooch.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is good for USA Soccer, because we can laugh and be like, no, those guys actually try, and they suck. We
it's not us
try
it's
and
not
suck.
Us. Just we're bad at standardized testing. It's us and Italy.
Yeah, the test was too hard.
Yeah.
The test was biased.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should go with. All right, let's get to our interview with Julian Edelman. So I said at the top, we sat with Julian Edelman for like an hour at his house in Boston. We are going to run like 35 minutes of it today. And because we're not going to have a Friday episode after Thanksgiving, we're going to run a little bonus. We're going to have like a 2-hour episode for you guys. So everyone who has to work on that Friday, we feel bad for you. We're going to put some Julian Edelman, some Tom Brady talk, some Bill Belichick talk, some more of our questions, some really good stuff. So it's going to be like a two-parter, part two coming next Wednesday when you have to sit around with your family and you need 2 hours of Pardon My Take. That's just us being nice.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So before we get to Julian Edelman, Peloton. Peloton bikes are the new rage. You can get your workout in your home. I have a bike. PFT has a bike. We both have Peloton bikes. We both work out in our home. I'm not joking about that. Peloton bike is awesome because it's got a big TV screen and you can do all these workouts. They bring you through all the workouts. Cycling is a new thing. It is cutting edge indoor cycling bike that brings live studio classes right to your home. New classes are added every day. Variety of workouts to choose from. 45 minute classes, 20 minute burns, hip hop, rock and roll, low impact or high intensity. All of it has on the Peloton bike, 22 inch HD touchscreen. Comes with your bike. So right now, discover this cutting-edge indoor cycling bike that brings the studio experience to your home. Peloton is offering listeners a limited-time offer. Go to onepeloton.com and enter the code PMT at checkout and get 20% off accessories with your Peloton bike purchase. Get a great workout at home anytime you want. Go to onepeloton. That's onepeloton.com. Use the code PMT and get started today. OnePeloton.com. PMT is the code. All right, here he is, 2-time Super Bowl champion, Julian Edelman. All right, we now welcome on Julian Edelman, 2-time Super Bowl champion. We're in his home. He has a book. Let's start there.
Relentless,
the book. So do you actually expect anyone to read this book? We're not book guys.
Yeah, it's made for the non-book guys.
What does that mean?
A book is made for the non-book guys.
This book is made for the non-book guys.
Okay.
So are there a lot of pictures in there?
Yeah.
There's A, we got lots of pictures.
Okay. Double spacing?
Double spacing.
Mm-hmm. But what are the margins like on the side?
We're built for comfort here.
Okay.
We're built for speed and comfort. it's an easy read. It's full broed out. There's like bro section. I mean, we were all a little bro when we were younger.
Hey, don't bro me if you don't know me.
Don't bro me if you know me.
Yeah. Finally, a book for guys.
Yeah,
it's a book for guys. I mean, it's a motivating book. It's basically, you know, it's my story that has got me to where I'm at and where I'm continually trying to go. I mean, my road, just like a lot of other people's roads. Like when I was younger, I liked hearing the stories of the Jerry Rices and I'm not putting myself in that category, mm-hmm. but just their story, you know, from Mississippi, the 1AA had his dad throwing him bricks and stuff. Like as a kid, I loved hearing those stories, the Jerry Rice Hill in Edgewood Park, yep. like all these things, you know. If I could get one kid out there who, you know, supports me or something that hears my story and hears, you know, that I had to hear the word no all the time, that I wasn't recruited to the big school, I had to go the long route. I wasn't, you know, I mm-hmm. got to the NFL and I had Joey Galloway, Randy Moss, Wes Welker. They traded for Greg Lewis. They had a special teams captain, Sam Aiken, in the room expected to make that team. And, you know, what I did was I worried about what I could control. And, you know, I had mentoring from my father, latching on to guys like Tom, you know, just kind of seeing him as a professional, you know, watching the Wes Welkers, the relationships with the Randy Mosses, all these things, you know, it helped me get to where I was at. And that hunger and that ability to always want to try to learn, always never being satisfied, you know, kind of shows people how that came and where it came from.
You're a big plural wide receiver guy, which I like. You got your Jerry Rices, your mm-hmm. Randy Mosses, your Wes Welkers. Who's the next Julian Edelman's? Because I know there's one of you coming
Chris
up.
Chris Hogan's?
That's the thing. Always one. I remember that game.
Beast.
That game against the Texans back in like 2012 or something, and Wes Welker got hurt, and then you got in the game.
2009.
And I was like, God damn it, they have another one. Who's the guy? Who's the next man up?
I don't. Does it have to be a white guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't bring race into it, but yeah, it's got to be a white guy.
I don't really know. I mean, that kid in
Minnesota.
Minnesota's
I'm feeling this. Adam Thielen.
You know, I like that little Switzer guy. He's swaggy out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Beasley, he's been balling for a few years now, and he's created his niche. And
that guy on Miami, Berrios.
Berrios?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him as much.
Okay.
I'm not saying that I haven't looked.
So the U's not back in this household.
Huh?
The U is not back in this household yet.
I love the U.
Okay.
I got a lot of my dogs, Will Forks, from the U.
Yep.
I mean, anytime you play with a guy from the U, they let you know they play.
Right away.
The U,
they're not very
it's like Harvard.
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I went to college somewhere around South Beach.
Yeah.
I always latch on to the Harvard guy, too, for some reason. Like, whenever there's a Harvard long snapper, there's always a long snapper that comes from Harvard, or there's an offensive lineman that is, like, on the 90-man squad that goes through OTAs. And every time, like, I just kind of want to hang out around them just to maybe get some of their smarts.
Well, you're a book guy now.
Yeah, I'm a book guy, I'm an author.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, exactly. In the book, you mentioned your dad.
Yeah.
I have not read your book. I probably won't ever read your book. I'm just going to be out.
All right.
Just be totally honest here. Maybe I will. But there's a story that you charged your dad in baseball, Babe Ruth.
Oh, yeah.
So what? Tell that story. Is that just because you wanted people to stop making fun of you because you were the coach's son?
No, my dad wasn't my coach.
Oh.
So my
plot twist. He was actually the opposing coach.
No, my dad worked, so he couldn't commit to like coaching the team that year or something. And so before games, my pops would come home and we would go take batting practice before games, get the eye dialed in. We used to do that literally every day. I'm talking when it was baseball season, like 7 days a week, you know, there'd be times where my pops would quit dipping your shoulder and he'd start throwing the ball at me or something. And, you know, I would get pissed off and spit at the mound. And, you know, my sister would be over there. She'd be throwing, like, my dad would make her throw, like, things at me to kind of get me.
A whole family affair.
Like, literally try to piss me off. And my dad would try to work my mental toughness. And this one time, it was right before a Babe Ruth game, I think, or American Legion maybe. Well, we were throwing over at Sequoia, and, you know, I was popping up, and I was dipping my shoulder, and he was throwing the ball close to me, and I was probably yelling. He was yelling at me, I'm yelling back at him, or not yelling, but giving him a look, and, you know, you give that look to your parent, you're like, you know, kind of like a fuck you kind of look, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? Or like spit towards him, you know, just have that little banter with him. Mm-hmm. And so then he ends up, he throws one, and it hits me. And this is when I we've been doing this for probably for 9 years. We started doing this at 6 years old. And this is when I was like 14, 15, and I still was a small kid. Still probably about 4'11" or something. But you know, you're starting to get into high school and you're starting to get a little older, and I my dad's kind of a tough dude, and I was like, you know, fuck this. So I threw the bat and I literally charged him, and my dad one-two'd me. And like I got me on the ground, and he starts pinning me, and I'm over here trying to headbutt him, and he's like, are you done yet? And I'm over here like spitting my blood because I was bleeding. I have blood all over my jersey. I ended up going to the game with a bloody jersey. Everyone around town knew of my pops. He drove this 1991 Suburban. He was the football coach, and like my dad coached Pop Warner. He's like a legend there for like 8 years before I played because I had an older brother. And so like my dad had like that aura, and people would drive by when we were playing baseball or practicing baseball, like, oh my God, is that Edelman, man? He's definitely like, that can't, I might have to call the cops. You know, that's just everyone knew. Everyone knew. That's how my pops was.
So you were recruited. You obviously went to Kent State. You were
went to JUCO first.
Were you recruited at all out of high school as a quarterback, or was it wide receiver? Did you get any offers out of high school? What was that road like?
So we go in heavy detail on this in the book, Relentless, by the way.
Buy it, Amazon?
Everything, everywhere.
Sure. Steal it.
Yeah. You know, steal that book.
Steal it and then post a picture of you stealing it, and I'll like it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Not retweet it. Like, not retweet it.
I'll like it.
What if you steal the book and then take a picture of every single page and then make a mega thread on Twitter?
Yeah, put it on WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And then send it to Donald Trump Jr. to ask him to retweet it. What do you think about that? A little topical news there.
What were you talking about?
Recruiting. Yeah, coming out of high school.
Coming out of high school, I wasn't, you know, I was a late bloomer. So, like, my junior year, I didn't hit puberty until I was, like, 17 oh, wow. and a half, bro. It was crazy.
Jeez.
And good I detail. Was always...
Yeah. Is that in the book? Does it talk about it when does. You got pubes? What chapter is that?
When did you lose your virginity?
So, I didn't hit puberty. I didn't hit puberty, you know... Like everyone hit puberty, and I was still, you know, small. So my senior year, I popped up out of nowhere and sprouted up to like 5'9", and I started getting a little, like, you get that growth spurt. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to, you have that, like, almost baby deer kind of mentality. You don't know your body. And by that year, I started learning my body and getting my speed back and this and that. And I can remember vividly, you know, they bring the studs in. You know, you bring the studs in coach's office, and then you got the schools there that want to, like, talk and hand out the paperwork and this, that. And they would never give me paperwork. And, I mean, even junior colleges. And that pissed me off so much, you know, to the point where, you know, I was like, screw it, I'm going to CSM. You know, which was College of San Mateo, and went that route, and it was like the best thing for me. You know, I vividly believe everything happens for a reason. But I remember even College of City, San Francisco. It's a JUCO where all the bounce backs go. It's like it was a powerhouse in that day. Like, they didn't even recruit me, Coach Rush, and, like, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't get recruited to go anywhere. And then after my first year at JUCO, you know, I lit it up. You know, and then you started getting boxes of letters from everywhere. And it was the first time anyone wanted me or kind of wanted me. I didn't know how the process went, but I was getting letters from everywhere. And I don't know how much interest that was, this, that. And then coaches would call and they would say, oh, are you down to switch positions? And, you
real,
know,
real sexy talk there.
Real sexy talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I exactly. And I would say no, and I wanted to play. My goal was to play Division One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly, you know. Actually, we
careful. We'll make the jokes. You're not the funny guy.
Yeah, we're not the funny guy. And so, you know, I had that goal of wanting to be a Division One quarterback, because after that, it, you know, made that chip and ended up going to Kent State. Kent State had a guy that got hurt, Michael Matchin, some 6'6" backup or bounce back from. Played Major League Baseball and, like, 26 years old, and they needed some depth at quarterback. So, you know, they brought me in, and, you know, I ended up going to Kent State.
Mac is the conference of quarterbacks.
It's
That's what they say.
When I was there, there were six quarterbacks starting in the NFL. You had Chad Pennington.
Mm-hmm.
You had Garrard.
Roethlisberger.
You had the Gizaskowski guy from
Gronkowski.
Tampa. Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
You had
Chaz Batch. He's probably still around.
He was in there.
Yeah.
Then also you had what was his name? Marshall, another quarterback.
Leftwich. Conference of quarterbacks. Dan LeFever. Remember him?
I played against him, Central Michigan. And
legend.
He was the first team All-Mac quarterback. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Because of that. I was trying to compete against him.
So, the injury. Let's talk about the injury real quick.
Yeah.
I know you probably don't want to, but how is the knee and how is the rehab going?
The knee's how it should feel, I guess, after the time I've had since the surgery. And, you know, rehab's a bitch. It sucks. You know, you go in and you're feeling decent, and then you warm up and you beat it up, and then you get stiff again. I mean, it's just a process, and you go in 6 days a week, and you're going in to work it, you know, work on everything, your flexion, your extension, you know, and then you're going to, you know, I go to TB12 Center after my rehab with the Patriots and do rehab there, you know, and then you come back, and it's a different way, and IR life sucks because you don't get to be with the fellas. You don't get to go to the meetings as much.
I always was curious with that when you're on IR. Is it something where you get to decide how much you want to be involved?
No, not necessarily. You know, I'll go into meetings here and there when I can. But, I mean, you're ultimately there. What's best for the team is you getting healthy.
Right.
So that's what, you know, the health of the team is number one thing. So you got to go in and you're doing 4 hours of treatment, you know, all these things. You're not going to be able to have time to go into some of those. But, you know, I like to pop my head in. And it's kind of like class. We have different periods. So mm-hmm. I'll see him in the hallways and at lunch and recess and all that.
Do you shove, like, Amendola into a locker and just bully him around a little bit?
Yeah. 100%.
We're kind of ACL whisperers on this show. So we had Danny Woodhead on.
Yes.
My guy. And I loved Woody.
He's doing great. He's back. He's off the IR right now this week.
He's back.
So just listen to us.
I miss Woody, man. I miss Woody.
I'm sure that the TB12 Center is awesome, but do they make you rub like Himalayan pink sea salt and like just drink weird kinds of water and
throw strawberries in the trash?
Yeah, or like crush tomatoes with your bare feet and then kick them in the faces of strangers or what?
No, they don't do that, but they do frown at you if you do eat those things.
If you bring a tomato in, it's a tomato free zone.
If you have ketchup on your breath, they're like, get the hell out of here. You can't rehab today.
There is
you're drunk
with Alex, who's the guy. There is like this, like I'll feel guilty if I have a piece of cheese or something, or if he's in the mm-hmm. he'll walk in like the cafeteria and I'm like making a sandwich and I'll like have cheese and I'll take it off like, real quick because like he'll guilt you and like
I'd love to have him walk around and like follow us and watch what we eat on a given week.
Oh my god,
he'd
bro!
Have a field day with us.
Field day.
Yeah.
Field day.
That'd be fun. Have you apologized to the fantasy owners that drafted you before you got hurt?
My bad, guys. My bad.
Because actually, fun story, that was the weekend of Mayweather-McGregor. So when you got hurt, we were pretty drunk at a pool party in Vegas. That's the fun story.
That is a pretty fun story.
Yeah.
We looked at our phones and we were like, damn it.
Damn.
So like,
looks like
Edelman's
actually, out.
It probably hurt us more than it hurt you.
Yeah.
That probably had to have been a good
time. It was like a pretty awesome party and we had to tell Hank and Dave. And they both were like pretty bummed for about like 30 seconds. So you kind of ruined the party.
You know, hey, my bad, fellas. But just pour a little out for me next time.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Just pour a little out for the homies.
What if, hypothetically speaking, the playoffs got delayed for like a month because, I don't know, we got into a war with North Korea. And so they start in February. Would you be able to come back for the playoffs?
Sounds like maybe. Interesting.
It wouldn't be my decision.
Here's the Belichick speech,
guys. It's the truth though. The real reasoning behind that, like you can't put a timetable on things, because, all right, you put a timetable on something. Say, all right, I'll be back in 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
You put that out there, and the media is over there. They're gonna put that in their little log.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then they're gonna say, oh, it's 5 months. Why aren't you back? What's wrong? Is it the rehab's fault? Is it
the doctor? Is it the surgeon?
Oh,
yeah.
It could be like people.
Did you re-injure it in practice?
Yeah,
exactly.
So you're not trying hard enough.
What I actually heard from that answer, and we can quote you on this, is I'll be back in 5 months. So we'll just chop off the ends of the 6 months, and I'll be back in 5 months.
I wish. Thank you, it all depends on how the knee feels, like legitimately. Like it's not about getting the knee healthy. It's about gaining your biomechanics back. your strength. Like, once this thing's healed and, like, after the surgery, you can beat it up, but then you got to wait for other things that they did, to like, procedure, like your patella tendon, all those types of things. They may not heal as fast, you know, and then people are at a different rate. So
well, you beat it up, then it gets stiff, is what you said earlier.
Yeah.
You didn't get invited to the combine. Sorry to bring that up. But I know that at your pro day, you were, like, the fastest, right, in terms of the cone drill. So, like, how did that factor into which procedure you wanted when you were coming back? Like, do I want one that's going to be 100% or what?
100%. You got to look into that. And you also look into the surgeons and all that type of stuff. Like, that's one of your strengths. You got to get that strength back. And, you know, you definitely have to go the route of the more heavier duty type of thing, because I do put stress on those things. And that'll also come into the rehab process of what muscles I have to get bigger or protect, like your VMOs, and you got to make sure your glutes firing at the same rate as your hamstrings, you know, all those things. Everything comes from your glute, you know, your ass is your power source for everything.
Yeah, we're big buck guys.
You gotta be a big buck guy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you get that glute firing and you get everything where you're working it through that, it puts less stress on things. So, like, you got to, like, retrain yourself on how you're going to run and how you're going to do those things to benefit the most off of those types of.
So did you think about doing some rehab with, like, Jen Salter? She's got that big butt on Instagram.
Bootylicious.
She could give you some tips.
Yeah.
Just bubble that thing. Have you looking like Kevin Booth's ass out there?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah. Plays on the Giants. He played on the Giants.
Big ass.
Biggest ass in the history of the NFL.
Al Jefferson. Big ass.
Yeah. Big ass. What positions, though?
He's a center in NBA.
Yeah, you get those, you know, you get those big glutes, man.
Yeah,
it's explosions.
All right, let's talk about some fun stuff. You won 2 Super Bowls. Which one's your favorite? And does it count if you don't remember the first one at all?
They're like kids, fellas.
You confirmed you only love
the first one.
You confirmed you didn't remember the first one.
No, you can't. I remember the first one, bro.
What, like a week later when you woke up for the concussion days?
I went through everything, the prototype or that you have to go through, the protocol. I went through all that stuff, bro. Like, if you watch it, if you see a guy get, like, dinged up, like a real, you see hands, like, you can't control stuff. Like, they hits reset button. Mm-hmm. Like, I was able to function after that.
Cobwebs. Mm-hmm. You just had cobwebs.
Nah, bro. That's a kiss, bro.
Were you mad, though, that people kept, like, just diagnosed you as having a concussion?
100%, because if people realize, like, 3 plays before that on the punt return, I took a helmet off the hip. And so when I was trying to get up, everyone thinks I'm, like, dying, I can't get up. I couldn't move my hip. And then, like, the next couple plays, a guy hits my hip again. And, like, I'm sitting there. And my hip was, like, when you get a hip pointer, bro, you can't move anything. And, like, you know, I was battling that. So, you know, football's a real sport. We went through all the protocols and all that, and I was fine, bro.
I might have a hip pointer because I just have trouble getting around, walking. So maybe I've got one of those going.
Definitely.
For the last, like, 12 years.
What's the next day after a Super Bowl like when you basically get all the injuries, you go through everything? I mean, 2014, you went through war, and then you get drunk immediately after. How much more does it hurt the next day when you wake up?
I'm not going to lie. After both Super Bowls, like, our play counts were always so high. They're always, like, huge offensive play counts. And you're getting, like, in the Super Bowl, like, it's like life or death. You know, like, there's games where your play count's not as high. You're kind of, like, it's different. And then when you're in the Super Bowl, everyone's giving, you'll see guys with just, like, literally giving bodies, like, life on the line. After these games, you are dead. Like, literally pooped emotionally, because both of those Super Bowls were such up and down games. You're going through that. You're trying to stay emotionless. You're trying to, like, ride that wave and kind of stay in the middle. But you definitely feel it as a player. And after the game, after you're giving it, like, 180% the whole game, high revving, you almost blow tires because, like, you're just so pooped after this game physically. Mentally, you're pooped after the 2 weeks of media.
Careful.
Exactly. Be careful. But, like, that's only one day, bro. That's only one day of it. Like, you got all these other requests.
Family, friends,
tickets.
Yeah.
Then you're emotionally just drained after that game. Then you get blacked out, hammered, drunk with your fellas. Like, and then it doesn't stop after day one. Like, then you're flying back. You're doing all, like, the TV shows of this or that. And then, like, you got the parade, And it's just like, it doesn't stop, man.
So what I'm hearing you say is basically winning a Super Bowl sucks because the hangover is just the worst.
It by no means does it suck, but if you haven't been drinking all year, then all of a sudden you go to, you know, I mean, I don't drink during the season.
Right, man card.
You know, then after, yeah, I wish. When you get older, bro, you can't do it as much. I remember
how old are you?
31.
Oh, wow, that's pretty old.
We're older than you, yeah. So.
But you guys
can actually, for the rest of this interview, call us sir?
Yeah.
How old are you guys?
32.
32? All right, so like in your world, you know, you guys are like 22.
I don't know, man. We actually have a debate. I think blogging is just as hard of a sport as football.
Agreed.
My brain is mush.
I will actually give you that. You guys are probably like, you guys are in like your working stage of like mid-40s to like 58. We're like business people. That's where they're really making their shit.
There's going to be a class action lawsuit of all the bloggers in like 30 years because we've all just been playing with a concussion
for
the last like decade.
And also, when you were playing in college, you weren't getting paid for it. So that technically wasn't even a job. Mm-hmm. We've been blogging our whole lives.
But you guys were making those blogs when you first started. You guys were getting paid. You guys were just
3 a.m. eating pizza, crushing Red Bulls, you know, smelling salts, then try to go to bed.
You guys were out there giving flyers. Up and do it all again. Giving the bar stool. Just flyer. Saying. It's the same thing.
Just saying. In that Super Bowl, you came back from a foot injury, right?
No, the second one, yeah.
Yeah, how much time did you miss? Just curious.
I missed 5 weeks.
Oh, really? That's weird because I had the exact same injury and I came into work that same day.
The thing is, I was working. I just didn't get to perform in front of people. That's the thing what people... I'm going
to
take your man card.
How much tape did you put out with a broken foot?
As a football guy, you should automatically know that you don't win games on Saturday. That's true. Just test day, bro. Ooh. You're going Monday through fucking Saturday.
Tables
Monday
turned.
Through Saturday is work days. Those are work days.
Fun. Sunday's fun.
Sunday's the fun day, bro.
That's fun.
You're in the meetings and taking care of your body 12 hours a day.
So how many fantasy points did you score while you had a broken foot?
I'm not. Unfortunately, you know.
I blogged every day.
We pay your paycheck.
I blogged every day.
I agree with that. That's why I had a double-edged sword on that fantasy because.
Don't even get the cat started on this dog bite.
Have you ever been bit by a dog?
I have, actually. That's why I'm a little scared
of ground.
Yeah, me, same me.
Yeah. It gives, right. Even if it's a nice dog, you're still
could
aware.
You never put your guard up. Never trust an animal.
Respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect it. Going back.
Iron sharpens iron.
The Super Bowl, I have a question for you on the second one. Do you ever feel a little ashamed that everyone's flipping out about this catch when it was pretty overrated because it was first down?
It was second down, but I do.
Second down, same thing.
You know, I don't think about that catch when I think about this game. I think about right after, you know, halftime. We go in the whole halftime and everyone, you know, like I'm the guy over there saying you got to believe, like it's going to be a hell of a story, you know, trying to keep things up. Defense holds them to a 3-and-out. I had a good punt return, like a good chunk punt return. Then we go 1-2. Third down, I have this ball across the middle. I have him, and I try to make – I drop that ball. And I was the guy over here, you know, the rah-rah guy, this, that. I think about that third down, how much harder it made it for us to go because we had a little momentum there. So, like, that's what I think about, bro. I don't think about that catch. I think about that drop.
Yeah, because you were afraid that Giselle was going to call you out post-game and be like, my husband can't throw and catch the ball.
You got to stay on her good side. You got to stay on her good side because that's the hand.
Okay, so I heard this story.
Happy wife, happy life.
You can confirm this or deny it, but I heard a story that I don't remember if it was at the Kentucky Derby or maybe a private plane, something, somewhere where all the guys were hanging out, and Wes Welker was giving you shit. And he was saying, you know, I was you before you were you and busting your balls. And you said, yeah, but the only difference is I make the catch in the Super Bowl and you didn't. True or false? I heard that story.
Where'd you hear that one?
I heard that story.
From who?
I don't know. Sources. I can't even remember where I heard it from.
Journalists don't reveal.
True or false?
That is one of those, you know, it's one of those things. Everyone has banter. We all have banters.
Was there like tension between you and Wes? Like just
Wes
you know.
Is like he's like an older brother, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, everyone talk. We all when you get with the room full of fellas, you guys are tossing back some shots. You went from the Kentucky Derby to the Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah,
you know, you're sitting there and. It's one of those things where you guys get to John and it's you know, things are said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the KO shot.
You can't really come back from
that.
No,
you can't. Also, Welker was probably on six kinds of Molly at the time, so he doesn't remember any of that.
True. All right, here's a good question.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I Googled Julian Edelman net worth. It says $9 million. Is that true?
Nah, not
more?
True.
More?
It's not true.
More?
I don't know.
Who'd you vote for?
Yeah.
Huh?
Would you?
I didn't vote.
Would you pay in taxes in 2016?
You pay a lot. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot. Okay. Yeah, when you have an employer, you're paying the most. Because like we're not like the owners that like have like their LLCs. I'll tell you right now, when you're paying a lot of taxes.
Are you just giving away information about Bob Kraft having a tax shelter?
Mm. No,
did
but
you right off that home office. I saw you playing Xbox earlier.
No, I wish. I wish I could, but my office.
Yeah. Well, shouldn't your entire office be home if you're working out and you're doing everything? You're like you're eating right.
You're never stop working. Yeah, your kitchen should be your home office.
My kitchen, yeah, it should be.
Maybe right now you're doing rehab. You're resting.
Hey, can you guys? I need you guys working on my taxes, bro. Let's get in here.
We have a lot of. We know a lot about a lot.
A lot of stuff, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
pretty much.
Give me the whole spiel on it, Bubs.
As far as football goes, are you ever going to play cornerback again?
I wish. I don't know. You never say never. That was crazy. I
legitimately walk into the building,
and I'm walking in early, and JB, D coach, I had no clue this. Hey, you're in our meetings today. I go, what do you mean? He goes, just come to my meetings. I'm like, all right. And so I said, they didn't even tell me. They just sat me in these meetings, like, oh yeah, we might have you play some nickel, because we were banged up and guys were getting hurt. We were getting guys off the street to do it, and I'm doing scout team here, or I'm doing some. Defense. I'm getting a couple reps in on D and that week of practice, and I didn't think I was going to get to play. And these jokers actually threw me in the game in New York, you know. And I'm sitting there, and my first play, I had to tackle LT.
Yeah,
I actually injured him. It was his last play he ever played.
Oh wow!
You
ended his career.
LT out.
Unfortunately, I was a huge fan. I used to have the little LT jersey. My boy Kerr had it, doing the little head thing, but I had to tackle him.
Had to do it.
It was crazy. Like, these guys literally told me, like, on a Wednesday, hey, you're going to be in our meetings, and they played me on a Sunday, and that's when I knew it was real. It was real in New England.
If you guys are pulling plays out of your ass like this in practice all the time, how often do you run something that just completely falls apart on the practice field? And you're like, what the fuck was that?
All the time, man. It's trial and error. And the thing is, like, our coaches do such a good job of making the situations and the practices really hard. And, like, that's where you gain your confidence, legitimately. Like, they treat, like, our practices are like mini games. That's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, we don't play 162 games or 80-something games like the other sports. But we got these practices where we're throwing out 40 plays, high tempo from period to period, you know, cutting, like, on turf, grass, this, that, and everything has to be at such a high tempo, because if you do it in practice and you're confident in doing it in practice, that's when you perform the best in the game. And they put such high pressure that of evaluating. I mean, these guys are filming stretching, bag drills.
Oh, yeah. We know Belichick likes to film.
Everything.
PFT was, he was going to get that in.
Everything's on film.
Like, you had to know that.
You're being evaluated.
You should know that, because you should be a guy who watches film. You listen to us.
Yeah.
You had to know that was coming.
I'm not going to lie. Belichick is the biggest, like, this guy. I can remember being, like, my rookie year. I would go to the facility. I was just so happy to be, you know, a Patriot. And like, I was just, it was such a huge thing for when I made the team. And like, just so grateful. And like, I just sit and look at my helmet and get and stay in the hot tubs. Like, at the facilities at Kent State, we never had that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't used to like this. I thought it was just the coolest thing. We had towels, you know, this. Like, everything's at Patriots.
And flip flops. It was crazy.
You know what I mean? You got a cool oak locker, and I was so just appreciative.
You have to pay to use the bathroom.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You got free Gatorades. Yeah. There wasn't a vending machine in there. But I was there, like, I'd stay there at 11 o'clock at night in the tubs. And one time I peeked my head in the weight room, and there's treadmills, and Bill's got a game on that he's watching. I don't know. I think it was like two teams ahead. Because he's preparing, because we had a short week that week. It was like a Thursday night game. Then we had a quick turnaround or something like that. So he was already getting that with a huge book, and he's sitting there. I'm talking like a 4-inch binder, flipping through like plays and like taking notes while walking at like 11 o'clock at night. I hurry up and scatter out of there because I didn't want him to see me. And I put my clothes on, and we just so happened to walk out together. This is all in the book Relentless, too. Is what, it goes into crazier details.
Cut this.
Yeah, you guys got to get on that. And we walk out, and by the grace of God, I accidentally walk out at the same time with him. And I haven't even held a conversation with him. I've been on the team for 2 years. And I'm sitting there like sweating bullets, and we're walking out, and he's not saying anything to me, and I'm not saying anything to him. We're going to our cars, and I go, "Hey, coach, man, I was just in awe. I was like, man, it's 11 o'clock at night. I saw you on that treadmill. That's crazy. You always like this?" And he goes, "Yeah, it sure beats being a plumber. See you tomorrow." And like, that's all he said.
That's fucking perfect.
I'm sitting there like, you know, muster up enough confidence and like balls to ask him something.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
He's a football guy, man,
through and through. You once said that Gronk is a genius.
Gronk's a smart dude.
In what way?
Gronk's really good with numbers, and I'm not lying. Like he
69. We know he repeats 69 over and over again. He's great at that one.
I think he's a genius too, but I want to hear what you think.
Like, he's really good with numbers. My guy, he's got really good memory.
Okay.
So like, he can remember like plays and like, or like where guys are drafted, this, that, like, you know, he can remember stuff like that real well.
Like which bars have the best like 2-for-1 specials.
Mm-hmm.
He knows exactly.
Yeah.
He probably knows where the chicks are. I don't know about that, but you never know the Gronk. And then like, he also, Gronk's real calculated with his whole persona, man. Mm-hmm. He's like, he knows that he's just the Gronk, and like, he can play it out, and he knows when to play it out and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But that's how he is.
You know, we've met him. I mean, he really is. That's why I think he's a genius.
Yeah.
He's like turned off part of his, basically the part of his brain that could like bum you out ever. He's just always happy.
He makes
him a genius in my mind.
That, yeah, dude. I mean, the dude is, he's always great to be around at the facility. You know, he is always in a good mood. Like, he works hard, and he's just, he really is just a huge giant, like gentle giant that like, he reminds you of like a seventh grader,
mm-hmm.
like the really big kid, and like laughing and like the dude guy, this, that, like farting around, like playing tag with girls and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like but he was really athletic. That the whole like fifth grade team wanted to play just against him. Like that's how he is. Like in the league, he's just that guy, just having a ball. It's so funny when you're running by this guy in a game. Like he's giggling, like laughing and like making these sounds like, oh, and then he'll get up and get tackled. He's like, "Did you see that, bro? Like, I really stiff-armed that guy to the ground." And I'm like, "Yeah, Gronk, I saw that thing. You're a beast."
When you say he's good at numbers, I've heard that you can like ask him a math problem real quick, and then he'll just know it off the top of his head.
He knows multiplication.
Oh, wow.
Really well.
He's got his tables?
He did the multiplication tables.
Yeah.
Has he gone to long division yet?
I don't know. I've never tested him that. Actually, he does, because I'll be like, we'll be talking contracts. He'll be like, "Yeah, it's like 6 a year, bro, or seven. That's like 7.23 a year, man." I'm like, "Damn, girl."
Oh man,
this is our last segment. We do this with every single guest. It's called Questions from a First Grade Class. This comes to us from Mrs. Jones's first grade class in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So we got some questions.
Foxborough, let's go, baby.
So this one is from Juliet. Juliet, she's 6 years old. She wants to know, did you hurt your knee because you're used to playing with underinflated balls, and then you tried to carry one that was too hard, and you were too focused on the ball and not your footwork?
This was from Foxborough High?
Yeah. Elementary.
Elementary? No way they're not asking that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't believe that. I think that's made up, and you guys picked this school.
Nope.
Because there's no way a little kid's saying that.
All right, well then, all right. So
but hypothetically, if this is a first grader.
If you don't believe
that's the reason. How would I answer that?
Yeah.
To the first grader, I would say, you know, what's her name? Juliet.
I go,
"Little sweetheart." No, it's not from that. And I think it's from other reasons. I don't think ball weight or
PSI
has anything to do with that, even though, you know, if it was a colder game, it's going to probably have less PSI. It's scientifically proven, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that if it's a hotter game, it potentially might have more. And, you know, if we all have, you know, in the same rough area of the same amount of PSI, and even if like ours are singled out and other one,
yeah.
you know, it doesn't really matter. We're not worried about balls. We're mm-hmm. more worried about, you know, it was maybe a fundamental that I tried to conquer that I went a little overboard on a cut. So mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with balls. It's all about like foot and
physics.
Yeah, physics.
So if you had 10 knees, would 9 out of 10 of those knees have
11 out of 12
of those knees have experienced problems yeah. on that cut? Is it more probable than not that that's the reason why you hurt your knee?
Mm. What?
The 11 out of 12, the physiology science of behind science.
It, yeah.
Out of the knee cut, like the yeah. actual cut of the surface.
We're talking about the balls or knees. Now.
We're talking about knees, right?
I don't know. We'll go to the next question.
Right. Yeah, next question.
By the way, I don't appreciate that you don't think these are real questions.
I just don't think a kid from Foxborough would ask that.
This one is.
Hey, Juliet, I gotta see that because I don't think she'd be busting balls about that.
It's right okay. there.
Yeah. So this one's from down. Timmy.
That's a pretty good question, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, she says thank you.
Yeah. Timmy, he's 6 years old and from Foxborough Elementary, and he said, hey, Julian, big fan. How many chicks have you done at the same time?
There's no way first grader saying
that. No, that's a question from Timmy.
He
asked it, so these I'm going to ask it.
I mean, that's why kids shouldn't be on Instagram and yeah, social media.
True.
They're learning too fast, too much. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
So, what was the answer to that?
Huh? I can't answer that. What are you talking about? I got a daughter.
This one is from Henry. He's not a first grade, but he reads at a first grade level.
Well,
so his name's Henry. Yeah. Not going to say who he is. He wants to know.
Hank. Is this you, Hank?
Listen to the question. It'll be pretty easy to tell. He wants to know. He says, all of you guys on the Patriots are so handsome. You and Danny Amendola and Tom Brady and everybody else, who is the handsomest? Good question, Henry.
Yeah.
The handsomest. So Jimmy G's gone, so he's off the list. Because he was pushing
it. Is he number one?
He's like heartthrob. He was like the heartthrob guy.
He looks worse in the San Francisco 49er red.
Yeah. Does he?
Yeah, just take a look at him.
I love that uni. I grew up in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I love that uni.
Doesn't do any favors for him.
That red doesn't make that olive complexion like no, shine
he's
better.
Like me. I wear red and I look fat.
Yeah, he's down to like a 9.8 now.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know. Jimmy G's like heartthrob. But I'd say Tom's like handsome.
Okay.
Dola's like hot.
Yeah. And what about you?
I don't know what I am.
This actually was a real like we were driving up and Hank was like, Patriots are like the hottest team. You should. We were talking about like what should we ask Julian Edelman? And he's like, I don't know, like, who's the hottest? That was actually quite a question that came up.
We got some good-looking guys, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, Julian Edelman, thank you so much. Everyone buy his book. It's called Relentless. Buy it and maybe post a picture to us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or steal it.
Yeah, steal it. Will there be an audio book for those of us who can't read?
There is an audio book, but I'm going to do an audio book reading potentially, hopefully, here soon. I hear it's hard. I was talking about Mike about with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man.
Hank can give you some
you,
tips.
Oh, wait. You also have a children's book. I do. So buy that if you're squirrely, right?
Flying High, and we're actually working on Flying High 2 right now, which is going to be epic.
No one likes a sequel,
don't,
dude. Yeah,
don't buy the second one because you'll be totally lost.
I got ruined.
Unless you
Squirrely 1 was great. Squirrely 2 doesn't need there
no,
doesn't need to be a
it's about
2.
This just epic game grab. That they play against a bunch of Falcons.
Sounds terrible. Mm-hmm.
Falcons, and they're, you know, they gotta believe.
And
because
then the Falcons eat the squirrels?
No, the Falcons.
Okay,
you know,
then then it's scientifically inaccurate.
Yeah, but there's also rhinos involved with the squirrel.
Oh, wait, so
where
all,
is this?
Where do rhinos and falcons
and squirrels?
So I'm going to trust
along.
You on the science behind these and football.
Rhinos, we got gorillas, we got cheetahs.
So it's a zoo. So
it's
you,
like a zoo.
Do you think it's cool to cage animals?
Hey, I don't think that's cool by any means, but hey, sometimes in fictional writing, you got to do these types of things.
So Squirrely 2, the sequel.
Flying High
2,
Flying High 2.
Yeah. But
Flying
seriously,
High.
Everyone buy High 2.
Yeah, relentless. Relentless.
Thank you,
relentless.
Julian. We appreciate it.
All day.
That interview is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partners with over 150 local farms
fisheries and ranches across the U.S. As a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Their produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they're reducing food waste. Listen to some of these upcoming meals they have. This sounds pretty good to me. They have seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with caper butter pan sauce. They have a 30-minute meal, which is shrimp and pesto fettuccine with spinach. They have a black bean and cheese tortas with roasted broccoli and lime sour cream. And they have sweet pepper chicken with bok choy and rice. That sounds delicious. I want to get some for myself. They have a variety, too. So they'll mix it up each week. You can even ask their culinary team to surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you're never going to get bored. And it's guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they're going to make it right. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/pardon. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/pardon. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. The interview was also brought to you by Miller Lite. I'm on a diet, and dieting and darting usually don't mix. But then I remember Miller Lite is brewed for more taste with only 96 calories. And then you know what I say?
Darty on.
For darties that turn into nardies, there's only one beer for the job. Miller Lite, the original light beer. Brewed for more taste while still being less filling. Dieting, darting, barbecuing, there's no way I'm cutting out any one of those activities. That's why I reach for the Miller Lite, the original great-tasting light beer that doesn't compromise on taste.
All right, let's get to some segments. First up, we have a little embrace debate. I think everyone saw this, but LeBron James had quite the 24 hours in New York City. Mm-hmm. He came, he bashed the Knicks, he bashed Phil Jackson. He then took the train, basically was an asshole on the train, live streaming it, being like, this is really fun, not realizing that this is basically all of our lives and we hate the fucking train. Mm-hmm. Even had a guy like be like, hey, dude, just chill out.
Just chill out, man.
Just chill out on the train. It's fucking Monday.
I'm going to do a little impression. Hey, check it out. I'm on the train. Yo, D-Wade, we're on the train. We're on the train, LeBron.
We're on the train. That was PFT doing LeBron and D-Wade on the train. And then he went and mailed it in for the first half against the Knicks, then ripped their heart out in the second half. Didn't cover, though. That bum.
So ripped your heart out.
Yeah, so embrace debate. Which Sex and the City character is LeBron James?
Because he loves
New York City.
He was a very New York person. As a Sex and the City lover, I'm going to say he was probably...
Ross.
Ross. He was Michael Rapaport.
Which one was the one that loved cats?
Michael Rapaport. No, Phoebe.
Phoebe.
Michael's girlfriend.
Yeah, he was Phoebe. Yeah, he's total Phoebe.
I was going to go with Chandler. Like, could he be any more unaware?
I'm going with Phoebe, though.
Okay.
Because, like, he's, like, always got the guitar out and singing and, like, you know, making everyone look at him, right?
So I'm going to go with Jennifer Aniston because he kept leaving people at the altar.
Ooh, that's what's a good her name? One.
Rachel. Yeah. He's such a Rachel.
Okay, so that was Embrace Debate. Which Sex and the City character is LeBron? We landed on Phoebe / Rachel / Chandler.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ross.
Yeah. A little bit. Oh, and also a little bit of
Newman.
You know, like, oh, I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that fucking LeBron. Mm-hmm. So he's that fucking asshole Newman. All right, we have a this is for Kansas and Kansas player Billy Preston, who got in a car accident, a one-car car accident on Saturday. No problem, right?
Yeah,
well, fine. Looks like there might be a problem because Coach Bill Self released a statement and he said, after I learned about the incident, I reported it to our administration. The administration determined that we needed a clearer financial picture specific to the vehicle, which... So we decided to hold him out of tonight's game, and we'll continue to do that until the review is complete.
Sounds like maybe Bill Self was trusting people too much around him.
One of those situations.
Another wrinkle in this is the road that the car was driving on had three stripes on it.
Oh.
So maybe a little Adidas car.
By the way, this just reminds me one of my favorite images that we have created on this show is Bill Self and his little belly getting bigger and bigger because he's just filling it with sad losses every year. Every like round of 32 losses where Kansas should totally win and then they lose or Sweet 16 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he just has that nice little pop belly that just gets bigger and bigger.
He's got stretch marks that say, like, Wichita State on it.
Yeah, like, oh, should have we had the number one recruiting class, and we lost to Wichita in the Elite Eight.
It's very funny that Bill Self released a statement being like, hey, we're, just so you know, we're looking into it. I'm getting out ahead of this
We're looking into this one.
So kudos for him for getting out ahead of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to work out well.
That's basically like, hey, if you're going to give away cars, just don't crash them.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing you have to do.
He might as well be saying, like, we gave this guy an awesome car, but we're going to handle it in-house.
Yeah. We got it. Yeah. We're actually going to we're gonna give it back, and we're getting him a beater next time. All right. We have a sorry not sorry, a big sorry not sorry for Papa John's, who has basically said that their pizza sales down because the NFL protests. I don't know how those are correlated, but anyway, Papa John's released a statement that they're taking back all of what they said. They said, the statements made on our earnings call were describing the factors that impact our business, and we sincerely apologize to anyone that thought they were divisive. That definitely was not our intention. This is, by the way, a three-part tweet, which is fucking annoying. Like, just write it down on the note and just screen grab it.
Right. Or just have every delivery person, when they deliver the pizzas, just read
say
that
sorry.
Statement.
No, like, just say sorry.
Hey, sorry about it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's Papa John. Sorry. Well,
yeah, sorry. We believe in the right to protest inequality and support the players' movement to create a new platform for change. We also believe together as Americans we should honor our anthem. Sounds like you want both. There's a way... I got ahead of myself there. The next line is, there's a way to do both. We will work with the players and league to find a positive way forward, open to ideas from all, except neo-Nazis. Fuck those guys.
Thank you, pizza company, for disavowing neo-Nazis. The first openly anti-Nazi pizza chain.
Unfortunately for you, Papa John, we have been anti-Nazi for, what, 3 months now? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a long time.
We've been openly anti-Nazi.
Right.
Make people think.
As far as,
like,
we know, we have been anti-Nazi
for three months. On the record as anti-Nazi for 3 months.
So I guess, does that mean we get free Papa John's? If they are anti-Nazi
and
we are the voice of anti-Nazis on podcasts that we know of, we need free Papa John's.
Technically, they're plagiarizing us. So I think that we have a lawsuit against Papa John.
Is free Papa John something you'd eat?
No, my lawsuit would be for him to buy me pizzas from other places.
Yeah.
Because we don't need
Papa
John's.
Actually just like some Joe's.
Hey,
Papa John's or Pizza Hut, what's better?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut buffet.
Yes.
Is actually the answer.
Fun fact.
Correct answer.
You want to hear a fun fact
about
the Pizza Hut buffet?
It is a fun fact.
Up until like maybe 10 years ago, the number one purchaser of kale in America, ManCard, was Pizza Hut for their buffets, to line the buffets with, not to eat them.
Wow.
That
was a very fun fact.
That was a pretty fun fact. I have a joke. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, I wrote this one down. Hang on.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Wait. Okay, now go.
I know another loudmouth Italian who tried to distance himself from neo-Nazis as the walls started closing in.
It's
Mussolini.
Yep,
that's Mussolini.
A little history joke.
He
got dragged by his ball sack around the town hall.
He absolutely did. Maybe that's what we should do with Papa John. Just have, like, Jerry Jones drag him across the field in Arlington, Texas, by his nutsack. Jerry Jones, like, just chopping into it with his teeth.
Papa
Like a dog dragging a bone across the carpet. Just Jerry Jones backpedaling with Papa John's scrotum in his mouth across the 50-yard line.
Pushing a sled. And Papa John's is attached to it. I like that.
I think it's time to ask the question, though. Is Papa John a patsy? Is he the guy that's out there taking the fall for Jerry Jones now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Jerry turned his back on him.
Jerry's all over the place. Yeah. Jerry's like, you don't want to be connected to Jerry right now because it is erratic, and he's suing the NFL, and he's got shadow pizza companies that are trying to take over the league, and just everything's kind of falling apart for Jerry. But
Jerry subs and pizza. Who stands to gain from Papa John's downfall?
By the way, Pizza Hut buffet. That's like the best racket ever, because you go in, you're like, they're gonna give me all this pizza like for $10, and then you end up realizing that you can only eat like six pieces.
Yeah, you eat like three quarters of pizza.
But it's all this pizza.
Yeah, it's nice being able to like sit down and wait, and then go. Oh wait, that's exactly what you do in your living room.
Right, exactly. So you should have just ordered a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, would have been more economical. All right, because it's Wednesday, it's Guys on Chicks. Before we start Guys on Chicks, we have a special. Explain to Hank, That's Enough Internet, Guys on Chicks. So we've been saving this. This is the headline. You ready for this, Hank? Feminist bakes sourdough bread using her own vaginal yeast. So I don't really understand how this works, but I'm going to tell you guys this sentence and see how you like it.
Say it again.
Feminist bakes sourdough bread
using vaginal yeast.
Okay.
So she use her own vagina.
She swabs it.
Yeah. So, here we go. Okay. Ready? Yeah. Ready for this? Waking up on Saturday with the familiar itchy Bernie fanny, I giggled to myself.
The doctor.
She's from Australia.
Maybe I could make bread with that. And that ticked into, well,
prostitution.
I've always wanted to try making my own sourdough anyway. And then, fuck, would that even work? And then I got curious. And the next thing that happened was I was scraping white goop off of a dildo into a bowl of flour mixed with water.
I'm about done with this one.
I just want to say, as a sex positive podcast, we are fully on board with this woman making sourdough yeast bread.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I stand with you. If I could make sourdough yeast bread, I'd fucking make sourdough yeast bread with you. So, her Twitter's,
thank you for
Twitter's
your
another angry woman. Deal with Nazis, Jack. is her Twitter name.
Okay.
And I agree with her. So I just want to say, I stand with you. Hey, can we get another round of applause?
Earn that flute.
Ooh, Papa John, if you'd like to kind of, if you'd like to mend both sides, maybe you start making a little vaginal yeast pizza.
Make your dough out of her yeast. And might I add, she is the world's first openly anti-Nazi vaginal yeast baker.
Dough maker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, no, Papa John beat her to it. So, yeah.
Well,
second.
I don't think Papa John's makes his dough. He probably buys his dough.
Oh, you think he buys
it? He's the first dough purchaser. She's the first dough maker. Put them together. Match made in heaven.
That's what I'm saying. They both hate Nazis.
Her and that flute guy should really just get together.
Yeah. Hey, we stand with it. Sex positive. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys on chicks.
Sup, PMT boys. I have a special question for PFT.
Sup? Mm.
My doctor told me girls need testosterone too.
Ooh.
Why is that? What could what could girls possibly need testosterone for?
Huh? Squirting.
Oh, God. I don't know how that works, but okay.
Are you trying out for Major League Baseball?
Mm.
That could be a reason why.
World's Strongest Woman?
Uh-huh.
That could work.
Maybe she got a fight coming up.
Yeah, CrossFit.
Ooh. Now, I don't want to get into too much of anatomy here, but like maybe you're hung like Bill Parcells.
Oh,
and maybe you just need to elongate that thing
a
little bit.
Did we ever even play that clip?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, that might be one that we cut. Yeah. So it might make no sense.
Yeah, just maybe your clitoris could be bigger.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so then get testosterone.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Inject it directly into your hoo-ha.
Yeah, get stronger. That's all. Testosterone is healthy for everyone, I think. Probably not.
You have low T.
Yeah.
Sup, PMT boys, especially Hank.
Oh, that's sorry.
How do I tell the guy I was hooking up with that it's weird to turn off the lights and ask me if I'd rather listen to John Mayer or Coldplay while we showered together?
Wait, why is that weird? Wait, okay. Turn off the lights in the bathroom is weird. That's very weird.
Yeah. Have you ever taken a shower with the lights off?
You feel like you're drowning.
It's very relaxing.
I don't know about that.
Hank knows.
You like to shower with the lights off?
No, I was going to say I fell asleep once in high school because I left the lights off. And I just
standing up in the shower like a horse.
Wait, this guy is like, that's nice. This is a nice move by him. You'll reach a point where you'll get a point
Coldplay?
In life.
Coldplay?
You know, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Old Coldplay, not new Coldplay. New Coldplay sucks. Old Coldplay.
In the shower?
Yeah, dude.
Yes, here's the thing.
That's like depressing.
No, it's not.
No, it's great.
That lights miss you will so guide you home.
Here's the thing. You're gonna be like 40 years old one day.
And just banging it out.
One day you're going to be 40 years old and you're going to be in the shower with your husband. You're going to be 40 years old one day in the shower with your husband.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, come on, let's just pound it out real quick.
Yeah.
And you're just going to want to wash your hair and get out. And you're going to be like, God, this sucks. Why do I have to deal with a horny guy in the shower with me?
Yeah.
And you're going to wish that you were back here with your sensitive emo boyfriend that just wanted to listen to adult contemporary, turn the lights off, and let you bathe like a queen.
Yeah. What do you think the John Mayer song he was listening to was the daughter's song?
Your body is a wonderland.
No, the daughter's song. You know that one?
Oh, be like, good to your daughters, too.
Yeah. Fathers, be good to your daughters. That would be weird. Mm-hmm. That'd be weird to listen to. Okay, we'll say he can't listen to that one. Everything else is in play.
This guy's a weirdo. Sup, boys. Why do girls have to wear makeup and guys don't?
Well, guys can wear makeup.
Because we're pretty. Because we're naturally pretty.
I'm goth.
Yeah.
So...
No, I would say that's probably realistically not fair, but I don't think you want to see me in makeup. I don't think so.
It's well, we've worn makeup.
Yeah.
On ESPN.
Yeah. True.
And I, well, not on Van Talk.
That. We don't say that. Yeah.
On the radio. That's how ugly me and Big Cat are. Yeah. They made us put makeup on to go on the radio.
Yeah. Just realizing that really sucked.
Yeah.
And those cameras were like really far away and grainy, but they're like, you guys are bad.
You guys need
you
makeup.
You guys look like
on the
shit.
It just dawned on me that is how that situation played out. Now I'm even more angry at ESPN.
Yeah. I really don't have a good answer for it. Sucks. Sorry.
No, it's like a bird, right? In the animal kingdom, by and large, males actually are the ones who have to bear the burden of looking attractive all the time.
Like a peacock?
Yeah, like peacocks or cardinals. They're bright red. Female cardinals are not done up. They don't doll themselves up at all.
Yep.
So if we're looking at nature on aggregate, females actually don't have to wear as much makeup.
Yeah.
So why are you saying you're persecuted? That's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, persecution of the white male.
What about all the birds?
Yeah, what about all them? The birds and the gorillas? What about that gorilla with the white
back.
Butt?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to walk big around booty. Yeah, just with salt and pepper
yeah,
ass.
What the fuck?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Wait, Oh, no, the men have, the male lions have, like, the manes.
The mane, yeah. Yeah. They have to spend all day combing those hairs.
Yeah, you got to walk around with all that fucking hair.
Yeah.
Because you guys want to fuck?
Mm-hmm.
This is not fair. Just do all the math. Add up all the animals in the world, and we actually are the persecuted animal.
Yes.
We're the persecuted gender.
The male.
Agreed.
Sup, boys. My boyfriend always farts under the covers when we're about to go to bed and thinks it's so funny.
Yeah.
Dutch oven.
Two nights ago, I did it, and he hasn't talked to me since.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's...
Where did I go wrong?
No. You can't do that.
You can't do that. That's not funny. It's not funny.
It's funny it's just, when a guy does it, and it smells really bad,
right.
And he makes you deal with it.
Okay.
But when you do it to him, it's like, wow, like that's really mean what you just did.
All right, I'm going
to
go out on a limb here. It's kind of like some words some people can use... Some words other people's can't use. So, like, there's words out there that, like, they're not my word. They're someone else's word. That's kind of what farts are like.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, you can't do that. That's not your word.
Yeah. We're allowed to fart.
Yes.
Because we're guys.
Yeah.
You can.
We come from fart culture.
You can fat, but you can't use the R.
It's ours. We own farts. Mm-hmm. Farting is a guy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Don't do that. Please don't. Okay, that was our show. We have Mark Schlereth, return of Mark Schlereth, and also Chad Millman on Friday's show. And like we said, look forward to Wednesday's double episode next week. More Julian Edelman and a couple other surprises in store for you guys.
Love you guys.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.